research looks at the digestive physiology of the Asian longhorn beetle. So likely the microbial community is important in breaking down wood in this insect. So this is a wood feeding insect. So today I'm going to talk about how this microbial community is acquired throughout the life history of this insect. So the Asian longhorn beetle, I'm going to refer to it as, sorry I'm leaning over to reach the mouse, ALB, is a wood feeding insect. It feeds on healthy living trees, so it's not feeding on decaying wood. I want to point out the life cycle. So adult beetles here lay or oviposit eggs under the bark of a host tree species. These tree species include maples, poplar species, and the larvae develop in the phloem tissue and then move as they grow into the inner wood. So my big question is, how are these larval stages that are feeding on the inner wood of a healthy tree species able to break down wood and grow and develop? So larval ALB grow and develop feeding on non-decaying woody tissue. So in order to do so, they're likely have to break down cellulose, xylan, and lignin, which are the main components of woody tissue. So in order to determine how they're able to break down wood, we're interested in the role of the microbial community in wood degradation. And it's been shown that the community of this insect is quite diverse, and other species of longhorn beetles have cellulitic or cellulose degrading bacteria in their gut. So we're really interested in novel wood degrading enzymes, and this could have applications in biofuel production, insects and biofuel, of course. So the Department of Energy is interested in creating ethanol from cellulosic biomass, or biomass that's based from cellulose. And in order to do so, they need to have novel enzymes and microbes to break down the cellulose. So they're interested in our insect, because it's feeding on non-decaying woody tissue, in possibly providing some of these novel microbial species and novel enzymes that could be utilized to increase the efficiency of cellulosic ethanol. So it's likely that they're important in wood feeding, the microbes, but it's unclear how they're acquired and passed from generation to generation. So my question today is, how do the larval ALBs acquire the gut microbial community that's required for wood feeding? And we're looking at two hypotheses. First, they could be vertically transmitted from the adult stage to the larval stage. So the adult could be passing the bacteria on somehow, the larvae pick it up and then continue on. Second, these microbes could be acquired from the environment. So it's feeding on the tree's out in the environment, it's covered in bacteria. Maybe it just acquires the bacteria that it needs through feeding on the woody tissue, picks up bacteria, and they become part of the gut community. So the approach that we're going to use to answer this question is do a culture-independent community analysis based on extracting the DNA from these samples. And we're going to look at both ALB life stages combined with environmental samples, so the host tree itself. So the way we collected our samples is we allowed adult ALB to oviposit onto a bolt of wood. So this is a quarantine insect, so we had to do this in quarantine. So we used a bolt of wood in place of a tree. We then pulled that bolt of wood out. You can see the oviposition sites or egg laying sites here. And we collected both non-oviposition and oviposition samples. So the non-oviposition samples I'm coining as environmental, and the oviposition are insect. So our treatments are, from the environmental samples, we collected bark, so the surface of the wood, this really contains the bark and phloem tissue, and wood, and this I'm referring to as the inner wood of the tree. And then from the insect samples, so these are ones where the oviposition site is, we collected bark, wood, and then we also collected the eggs. So you can see here in the oviposition site, this thing that looks like a grain of rice is actually the egg. Surrounding the egg, you can see a lot of staining. So one of our hypotheses is that the beetle, adult beetle, when it's ovipositing, may be inoculating the wood with bacteria through, so it chooses its oviposition site. So it could be doing it through its mouth or through the oviduct itself, causing the staining of the wood. So we collected bark, wood, eggs, and we surface sterilized a portion of these eggs and did not to others so that we can differentiate between the bacteria that are found inside of the egg and those that are found incorporated with the surface of the egg. We also allowed some of these eggs to hatch inside of the wood, collecting larvae, and we're also looking at the adults, but I'm not presenting that data today. So the community analysis method that we used is called automated ribosomal energetic spacer analysis, also known as ERISA. And all this is really doing is it's a PCR amplification between the 16S and 23S ribosomal RNA regions. So these are highly conserved regions. You can see down at the bottom, the mouse. So we're amplifying from here to here. So because they're conserved, they're going to amplify in all species of bacteria. But this intergenic space here is not conserved. So different species of microbes are going to produce different fragment lengths and sequences of this region. Thus, from one sample, when we do a PCR, we get a pool of a bunch of different fragments. We can then separate out those fragments, and each fragment represents a different species of microbe. We can sequence the fragment and then identify the microbe as well. So this allows a rapid profiling of the microbial community. So this is an example of an ERISA profile. This is a chromatogram. So this is capillary electrophoresis rather than running a gel. And the red peaks here represent the size standards. So we're going from 100 bases down here to 900 up here. And the green peaks are unique bacteria fragment lengths. So you can see them pictured here, here, here. So this sample has 7 unique bacteria taxa, denoted by the 7 fragments that we get. So I just want to show you a general overview of some of the data we're getting. This is just an example. We're not doing statistics on this or anything. But here you can see the larvae, the surface sterilized egg, non-sterile egg, control site wood, oviposition site wood, control site bark, and oviposition site bark. And you can just generally see that all of these communities represented by the different fragments you see are very different in all of these samples. But we can pull out some patterns. So we do see some bacteria that are only associated with the tree, which would be expected. So you see fragments in all of the wood or bark samples, but not in the insect samples. But also we see some fragments, or some taxa, that are found in the oviposition site, the egg, and the larvae. So you see the fragment in the 2 oviposition samples, but not in the control wood samples. And then they also come up in the larvae and egg samples. So these are bacteria that are likely following the hypothesis of the inoculation of the oviposition site, because we don't see them in the environment, but they show up in the oviposition site. And then they're carried over to the larval stage inside of the egg to the larvae and then passed on. So overall, we did 65 ERISA samples over all of the treatments and identified over 85 unique bacteria taxa based on fragment length. We sequenced those fragments so we know what these bacteria are down to family or genus level. And in order to organize this, we performed a cluster analysis. So this just creates a tree, and the tree is based on the microbial community present. So things that are close within the tree have similar communities, things that are far away on the tree have very different communities. So the questions that we can answer are, looking at this tree, are there unique microbial communities associated with the different treatments? So if our treatments cluster together on the tree, that means that those treatments have unique communities. And also, we can go back to the sequence data and look at what taxa are environmentally derived, picked up from the tree itself, or vertically transmitted, passed on from adult to larva. So here's our cluster analysis. Each of these different colors just represents the major branches of the tree. And you can see that, in fact, our samples do cluster. I have it so you can actually see it. So the top one here is the larvae samples, followed by the sterile egg, non-sterile egg, oviposition site, and then the environmental samples. And what's interesting is all of the insect samples cluster together in the top of the tree, the environmental samples at the bottom, and the oviposition site, which would be kind of an in-between between an insect and an environmental sample, because it gets inputs from both, kind of falls between the two. Also, you can see the number of taxa that we identified in each of these samples. And we see a much more diverse community in the environmental samples than we do in the insect samples. And I'm going to present now just on some of the bacteria that we see in these samples. I'm not going to go through all 85, so I'm just picking the most abundant bacteria and those that most describe the different branching patterns that we see. So samples that we see in all of the tree, in all of the samples, are likely environmentally derived and then maintained in the insect gut. So the one that best describes this pattern is a Xanthomonas species. But we can also look at this top branch of the tree, which includes all of the insect samples as well as oviposition site samples. So this would be this oviposition-derived bacteria, those that are being deposited by the adult. And we see 2 species that are pretty abundant in these samples, Lactobacillus and Cornibacterium. Finally, if we look in those that are just within the sterile egg, so this removes any bacteria from the surface of the egg and the larvae, these would be vertically transmitted through the egg itself. And we see 2 common bacteria or gut bacteria species, Enterococcus and Curtobacterium. So there is some vertical transmission, it seems, through the egg itself, or within the egg. So overall, we see a consistent microbial community associated with the ALB larvae, and we can see specific taxa that are vertically transmitted from adult, or in this case, oviposition site, to larvae. There are also many environmentally derived taxa found with the ALB gut. And our future work, we'd like to do is identify the communities associated with the adults, which we're working on now. We just didn't have time to present it today. And look how the community changes as the larvae transitions from the phloem tissue into the inner wood, where the wood is, where there are much less sugars and that sorts of things in the wood. So likely it's really going to have to rely on cellulose for its major sugar sources. And we're going to correlate this with wood degrading activity that we've already done in our lab. So I'd like to thank the members of my lab. This is our Christmas party photo and our funding sources, and would be glad to take any questions. Thanks. Right.
Are there any examples in nature that support that hypothesis?
So some of the earlier work done by Kukor and Martin out of University of Michigan in the 80s showed that lower cerambycid species actually pick up a fungal species in the environment. So they pick up this fungal species and the fungal enzymes in the wood. But these cerambycids are feeding on decaying wood. So what we are likely seeing is kind of a transition from picking up species from the environment to actually having some that are vertically transmitted within this insect. And we also see a fungal species that I didn't talk about today, but it seems to be more intimately associated with the insect than what is found in lower cerambycids. Yeah?
Have you looked at the enzymatic profiles just published on those different bacteria that you found in your different clusters? Do you know anything about any of them can digest cellulose?
So we have a collaboration with the Department of Energy, and we're actually doing an ALB gut metagenome sequencing project. So all of the bacteria species in the gut are having their complete genome sequence, and we're paralleling that with a transcriptome project where we're looking at both beetle and microbial-derived transcriptomes. So that'll be able to answer the question of who's doing what, where, when, why, and how. Yeah.
We don't have any more time.
Oh, sorry. Thanks.